What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, July 3rd, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the rogue one, at Gary Whitta, twitch.tv/Gary Whitta.
That's right.
You are officially a Twitch celebrity.
Internet micro celebrity.
There it is.
It's all happening. Qualified for Twitch partner yesterday.
Sure.
Put in the application. They're reviewing it right now. I hope to bring you positive results very soon.
Thank you. I don't want you to get them because that'll be one step closer to you leaving. You know what I mean? I worry enough about Andy leaving over here.
No, I would never leave you, Greg.
Of course. Thank you very much.
Cut to.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Whitta Daily.
That's right.
You're doing your own show competing.
That's right.
There was, you know, people were very, and I don't go too far into this line of thinking. They were upset on Monday. They were like, is there beef? Because you went live while Kinda Funny was live.
Whoa, oh, did I?
Yeah.
Gary.
But not now, Games Daily.
No. It was We Have Cool Friends, and it was also a 2-hour-long episode of We Have Cool Friends. So, like, it was fine.
I never thought about that. I usually go on in the evening.
Yeah, you. When, I you think know, it was you, like noon or something or something.
But I'm not a threat to you. I'm like a gnat. I'm buzzing what, around you know, like a gnat.
You're, that's what IGN
I'm
said about me.
A minor irritation at best.
Look at me.
That's true.
You know what I mean? We stole Fran.
That's true.
You know? Stole Jared Petty, then we fired him. That's how it is around here. We'll take their golden calves and slaughter them right here. I'm Kinda Funny.
So yeah, it's been going well. And again, I got to thank you for letting me pimp the show on the channel
oh, yeah,
last week. Because let me tell you, it blew up. It's been popping off all week.
Yeah.
A lot of Kinda Funny best friends came over to the channel at twitch.tv/GaryWhitta.
Yeah.
We've been doing all kinds of fun things. We added lights. We've got a bubble machine, a bubble maker.
Yeah.
It's like a
and
non-stop
all you do is
party.
Still talk to everybody, right?
That's and I just
you?
Talk. I actually set up the ability to play games.
Okay.
So I'll be able to play games on the channel like a Twitch streamer, you know, is expected to.
Yeah. But are we finally going to play World War Z together?
I'd love to.
Yeah.
I can do that on the stream now.
Yeah.
But it's mostly me just talking about writing, giving out screenwriting advice and things like that, but also just mouthing off, you know, just talking to the chat. I've
That's
really
what you're
enjoyed
best
it.
At.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's been good.
If you like Gary mouthing off, then ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about Gary's Book of Eli Watch Along. It's Tuesday, July 9th. That is 6 p.m. Pacific time, twitch.tv/GaryWhitta. Book of Eli finally on the U.S. Netflix.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this for a long time. Now that it's finally on U.S. Netflix and it's like widely available to a whole new audience.
Yeah.
Because everyone has Netflix, right? Who doesn't have Netflix
course,
in this day and age?
You got your water, you got your garbage, you got your Netflix.
You
got
to have it. You got to have your Netflix and chill. And given that, I'm just excited that the movie will find a whole new... There's plenty of... Like, how many movies, Greg, have you like... You skipped at the theater, you skipped on DVD,
oh, yeah.
And then when it came on Netflix, oh yeah, I'll give it
a
try.
Yeah,
and then
not?
Maybe you end up really liking it. Yeah. Oh, how did I sleep on
I've
this movie?
I've gotten so lazy that now when I start Netflix, Jen and I will sit down with our food, we'll start Netflix. And then when it does that first thing of like, we're like, all right, good enough. Whatever you're advertising, why not? Let's just watch that.
Right.
We came here not knowing what we want.
So hopefully it will lead to a new audience. And I'm trying to do something fun. I believe it's the first time anything like this has been done on Twitch.
Yeah.
I obviously can't stream the movie because I would get into trouble. But, you know, you'll set the movie up in a different browser window or an Apple TV or however you want to do it.
Yeah.
We'll go 1, 2, 3, go. We'll sync it all up. We'll press play together. And then I'll do a live... commentary Q&A of the movie I just running. Actually, we'll have the original scripts of the screen. That's something I needed to remind myself of because I really wanted to talk to you about this.
Yeah,
remember I texted this morning. Don't forget to talk to me. I've got to get
finish up the watch.
I'll have the script up on the screen.
Yeah.
And you'll be and I'll talk about like the script to screen, you know, comparison.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm
like
excited
that.
About that. Yeah.
And I'll answer questions and it'll be really fun. I'm looking again. Like I don't think anything ever like that's ever been done on Twitch.
We're going to be hosting it on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
Oh, that's great.
As long as we remember, which I'm sure. Joey will. And then, yeah, you wrote on your hand dream. You also texted me, remind me to tell you about the dream I had. I'm gonna
get to that, but my wife will kill me if I don't also do this. So the latest development in the channel is we're going to be selling merchandise.
Oh, wow.
And I'm wearing actually the very first...
Space Rocks!
Space Rocks. This is the t-shirt based on Space Rocks, the tabletop board game that I invented some years ago, and I'm still trying to get it together. I can't get Hasbro or Mattel or any of these companies interested. I'm just going to do it myself, I think. Next year, me and Jared are going to go, because Jared's a big believer in Space Rocks.
Right.
We're going to go to PAX and we're going to sell it.
Okay.
So stay tuned for PAX.
Don't you pummel each other with the rocks or something?
Well, that's up to you. The game doesn't specify that you have to resort to violence. You can if you choose to.
Because I told you, I distinctly remember telling you, hey, we should make space rocks in dreams. And you said you have to pummel someone with the rocks.
No, so you have to at least have the option. All options must be on
the
table.
Seems like this is a legal nightmare for you. You know what I mean?
We will see.
Where can people get space rocks t-shirts?
Go to twitch.tv/GaryWhitta and I'll be providing more information too. We're going to set up our own little Etsy store.
No, nice.
And we're going to sell them.
Very nice.
This was all made. This t-shirt didn't exist 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
My wife designed it this week. She has a heat press and a vinyl cutter.
Yeah.
She put it all together, made it for me to wear on the show this morning. Or t-shirts made in the USA, designed, manufactured, printed in the USA, straight from our straight from our family from our family farm to your table.
Okay.
But I got to talk to you about this dream.
Sure,
I literally wrote it on my hand. I don't want to derail the show so too much.
This, I think people expect this on a Wednesday.
Look, I know that people treat this as just like a big pre-show for KFAF.
Okay, first off, it's not KFAF today.
But typically they do, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I got to give credit to Nick for the Karate Kick yesterday.
The Karate Kick was amazing yesterday.
But typically people are like, get rid of this, get rid of Greg and Gary. They're basically
just the opening act. That's what they say.
They're just the opening act for Nick and Andy. We've all kind of accepted that now. So I think people get very irritated when our show goes past 11 o'clock.
No, people are like,
where's KFAF?
No, that's just Andy and his alt accounts in there saying over and over again. Hey, where's KFAF?
It makes sense. Now that like we know that he has alt accounts, it makes sense of like how many like how he has so many viewers.
It does make
it's start,
it is time to make a lot of sense now.
Yeah, exactly.
So now listen, I know that there's nothing more boring than someone telling you about their dreams, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I had this weird dream last night. Oh, fucking yeah, great. You went and got falafel with like Paul Giamatti and your ex-girlfriend. Like who cares? It's only of interest to you. But you this actually might be of interest to you because it's kind of funny related.
Okay, cool.
And I woke up this morning. You know how some dreams really rattle you and you wake up like still kind of freaked out?
Sure.
And other dreams are kind of happy dreams and you wake up in a good... Like the mood like translates into your waking state.
100%.
This morning I woke up very emotionally confused by this dream.
Okay.
And it was a kind of funny related dream. It's the first one I've ever had. And I need you to help me process it. You're going to be my shrink for a minute
here. Got it.
You weren't in the dream.
Okay.
So, you know...
But my presence was felt.
Yeah,
it's
I would
kind
say
of funny
so.
Dream. Yeah.
Tim Geddes wasn't in the dream, which I was very surprised by because you know I have a big old man crush on Tim.
Sure, of course those baby moves.
I mean, who doesn't?
Exactly.
It was okay. I'm gonna regret doing this. I know, but I've got to tell you about this dream.
All right.
It was me and Nick Scarpino and Barrett.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh. Yeah, I'm signing up for this sitcom.
All right.
And the three of us were on the couch in my little home office that I have at home, my little
red IKEA
couch, and we were all. How would I say? Cavorting. Dare I say frolicking.
Okay.
On the couch together. Just kind of like goofing around and like...
Like wrestling?
Like play wrestling and like tickling each other and just like giggling and having a good time. It wasn't sexual in any way.
Okay.
But it could... It seems like it could easily have turned into that.
Sure, you're on the cusp.
Right.
It's like that thing...
But it didn't. And there wasn't any sexual energy in the dream. It was just playful. It was just boys...
I think that's
having
just,
harmless fun together.
I think that's.
But I wonder why my subconscious picked Barrett and picked Nick.
They're the most freewheeling fun guys in the office.
You think so?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, yeah, but Nick is. You know, well, sometimes the Nick you know is. You don't see the angry Nick.
Yeah, you got to get a few beers.
Nick always strikes me as like the cool one, though.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I know this show's just off the rails already, so who cares? But we're doing in review for Spider-Man Far From Home after this.
Yeah.
Wait until you hear the Nick story I have to tell from that movie.
Okay.
Because let me tell you, would you be surprised if he jumped over a railing in the middle of the fucking movie like a psychopath?
What?
We'll talk about it on the in review. But this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Today we're talking about the Daybreak hacker that's going to jail, Epic covering those Shenmue 3 refunds, and Shovel Knight being awesome. If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can leave us your questions, comments, concerns, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you today. I'll go quick because I know we're running long. First and foremost, Greg's Comic Book Club number 17 is up on patreon.com/kindafunny. That's just a buck. We're talking about The Boys and a whole bunch of other comics. RTX is this week and all of Kinda Funny is going. That means you need to come to our signing on Friday. You need to come see our panels on Saturday. We have one, the Kinda Funny, We Need Your Sub More Than Funhouse at 2 p.m. Michael Jones and Greg Miller, let's see what happens at 5:30 p.m. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Colton Yoder, Blackjack, Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Upstart and Experian, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, the Daybreak hacker has gotten 2 years in prison. This is Owen Good at Polygon. Another hacker behind the attacks on Daybreak Game Company, then known as Sony Online Entertainment, is going to prison. Austin Thompson of Utah will be behind bars for the next 27 months, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of California announced today. Thompson, 23, pleaded guilty in November, parentheses, official charge, damage to protected computer, and parentheses, in connection with attacks in late 2013 against SOE. His group, Derp Trolling, was allegedly behind several denial-of-service attacks on the online service and several SOE games, plus Battle.net, League of Legends, and Dota 2 in late 2013. Thompson's attack were preceded by about 6 months of those groups calling itself Lizard Squad, which targeted SOE and even made a bomb threat that forced a flight carrying the then-president to land.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember that? Yeah, John Smedley. Thompson was not involved in those crimes. In early January 2014, whoever was running Derp Trolling's Twitter account said that federal agents had shown up at their home, but they had escaped through the bathroom. Thompson's plea agreement. You like that one? Thompson's plea agreement.
I just see him like his little legs like scurrying
sure, it's
through
like the, catch me if you can. Yeah, like yeah. Tom Hanks is looking out the window like, damn it, Derp Trolling, come back here. Thompson's plea agreement said he was in charge of that account. Quote, Thompson typically used the Twitter account at Derp Trolling to announce an attack was imminent and then posted scalps, parentheses, screenshots, or other photos showing that victims' servers had been taken down after the attack, prosecutor said in a statement. Thompson will begin serving his sentence August 23rd. He was also ordered to pay $95,000 in restitution to Daybreak Game Company. I doubt they're going to get that money anytime soon. 23-year-old, $95,000. That's not happening.
No,
unless he uses some of our sponsors.
No, but I mean, they will follow him to the ends of the earth for that. You know, it's like student loans. It's never going to go
hang
away.
Over your head forever. Yeah. Gary,
good. Throw the book at
100%,
him.
100%. Yeah. Right.
I don't like hackers. I think hacking can. I think hacking can be really fun as a hobby. I like hackers that are on the good side, you know, the kind of the white hat hackers.
Sure.
I think hackers that do, you know, try and that sometimes do things to kind of get information out that could be in the public interest.
Right.
I think there's some validity for that. But malicious hackers, people that just hold shit for ransom and are just out there just for the lols, and they get their lols at the expense of other people, just spoiling other people's fun. Do you remember there was another case a few years ago where like they hacked the Xbox Live on like Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Like who does
same
that?
Same thing, denial of service attacks.
Yeah, just denial of service.
The PSN outage,
right? Just if the only way that you can get satisfaction faction is at the expense of others by making other people unhappy, you need to have a fucking word with yourself.
Well, the problem with me always, right, is like, oh, man, a hacker, if you're like, especially that girl from Jurassic Park, if you're a great hacker, right, and you have all this talent and you can do all these different things, like you're using your talents because you're mad at a video game company for what they did. How many atrocities are happening right now in corporate America and all this different stuff, or even like whatever the fuck's going on at the White House? We're not looking into that stuff. That's not where you're going to go.
Exactly.
You're going to make John Smedley's plan.
All these skills that you have, think what you could do with them for the public good.
And that's the thing about it, too, where it's like you're dropping, like some of the stuff they do, it wasn't even like hacking, right? Like the denial of service attacks are usually that too many people are doing it. So they're actually just making a million things go to this thing to crash your site.
Yeah.
Similar to us when we say go to kindoffunny.com/whatever and then HostGator just crashes because no one ever goes there.
Right.
Like that's, it's not even, and then you called in a bomb threat to a plane. You're not a hacker, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
You don't even deserve, you're not even like the girl in Jurassic Park who understood Newman's thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Get out of here, non-Newman.
No, I think it's good. So like 20, what, a little over 2 years. Doesn't sound like a long time, but this probably, I don't know what this guy looks like. But this 20, I'm guessing like a 23-year-old, little nerd.
Yeah.
Two years in general population is probably, I wouldn't want to do it.
Oh, God, no. I don't want to go to prison.
No.
You know, I'll die before they take me in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The coppers are never going to take you alive.
Never take me alive. You know what I mean? I don't care how small the crime is.
What was the Rozzers thing about yesterday? What was the conversation you were having about that?
We were playing a game for party mode called Knights and Bikes. And Rex from the UK was here, a friend of mine, playing the game with us.
Yeah.
And he kept using British slang. And the game takes place in England.
Okay.
So some words would pop up. And then we were making fun, not making fun of him, but having fun with him about it. And then he was like, oh, yeah, like Rozzers. And I'm like, that's definitely a made up one. And
I haven't heard it in a long time. But
as usual, you'll be happy to know you were number two on the British person list.
We
called Rahul Kohli.
Okay.
He answered the first time to explain in it.
Yeah.
And then we called him the second time to explain Rozzers, and he didn't answer.
Oh,
the phone.
He didn't know. Oh, he
so
didn't answer.
We,
okay.
No, he did it to you. Similar to when we called Lucy James during the Josh McCouga episode about what is the Magna Carta. And she's like, I'm not 100% sure, so we called you number two.
Wow. And I had, of course, I had the answer.
You knew it right away, yeah. Kevin was so offended that Lucy didn't know.
You are so dumb.
Number two.
You should know that shit.
Number two on the Roper Report. Epic is covering the Steam refunds for Shenmue 3. This is from Epic CEO Tim Sweeney. Of course, yesterday we talked about the fact that, Shenmue 3 isn't coming to Steam anymore. It's going to Epic as an exclusive, and that the developer...
I bet there are some people that are really up in arms about
they
that.
They were, yeah. And so YeezNet was offering, they were offering refunds on their Kickstarter, right? Saying, hey, Kickstarter, if you don't want the Steam code, or if you don't want an Epic code, let us know. We'll refund you the money for your Steam code or whatever. But then Tim Sweeney tweeted this since then. Epic is funding the cost of all Kickstarter refunds resulting from Shenmue 3's move to the Epic Game Store, so that refunds won't reduce YeezNet's development funding. When future games go Epic exclusive, after offering crowdfunding rewards on other PC stores, we'll either coordinate with colleagues at the other stores to ensure key availability in advance or guarantee refunds at announcement time.
Well, look, I first of all, I don't understand all this anger about the Epic Store. Like, oh my God, like we're so loyal to Steam. There are some people out there that are so blindly loyal to Steam that the idea of Epic doing its own store is like some kind of affront to them. I don't quite understand, but I've seen a lot of anger directed towards 100%. the Epic Store. It does.
Whenever people write, we've done this a lot on the show, and as I've said, if you're new here, I'm not a PC player, so it's one of those I see it from the outside, and I'm right. Like, oh, I don't. I've said. Since this started, hey man, good on Epic. Better rev share, better this, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then people were so angry, they put subreddit threads about it, and it seemed it was feature-based that they were mad they didn't have certain features that they were going to have or this, that, or the other. And
yeah, but I mean, the Epic Store's brand new. They'll have those features.
Exactly.
It seems like they're handling this in the right way. They're doing the refunds. Of course, it's easy for Epic to do that because they have more money than God. But they don't have to do it. I think making the right move. Good for Epic.
I agree. I like it. This is my thing. I'd like to think I've read, not everything, close to everything you've put on the subreddit or written in on the show about of like why you despise the Epic Game Store and how it's not, it's more than just a launcher. It is this different, and I still don't completely agree with you on this. And it's Andrea said something about it yesterday, but of like, it's just exclusives, and I understand the PC market's coming down with exclusives and having to understand that, but yet again, it seems Epic is doing the right thing by the developer, which is what their whole thing's about.
And look, Steam's a monopoly. It has been a monopoly for a long time. I think anything that kind of breaks up, that disrupts that and kind of provides more competition and more reasons for Steam to be competitive and less complacent with their market dominance, maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, agreed. Number three, how big is Shovel Knight? Ladies and gentlemen, when Tim was on this week, we were talking about Shovel Knight and the fact that somebody had written in saying, hey, when awards are given for best ongoing game, why is Shovel Knight never in the conversation? When in reality, you bought this game 5 years ago, you have all this amazing add-on, full game content add-ons, all these different things. And Tim and I went back and forth a little bit about how that was great for their fan base and consumers, but maybe not the best in terms of a PR marketing strategy. With that in mind, I saw this roll across the Twitter sphere today and thought maybe it deserves a shout-out. So I'm reading from Yacht Club's own website. What's up, Shovelociraptors? It's been 5 years since the initial release of Shovel Knight, but now, no, I'm sorry, let me try else again. It's been 5 years since the initial release of Shovel Knight, now known as Shovel of Hope. Much has happened since then, and the Blue Burrower has certainly gone places. First off, there are three games in the Shovel Knight saga, with two more on the way. Shovel Knight had an epic crossover with epic crossover battles with Kratos and Battletoads.
See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
These Kratos and Battletoads crossovers. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. What?
They were dope.
Yeah. Cooperative gameplay was added. There's been a bunch of cool Shovel Knight merchandise. We made the first third-party amiibo, with more on the way. Nintendo published us in Japan. Shovel Knight is in Smash Brothers. And we have released on 12 platforms and sold over 2.5 million copies. And had over 25 cameos. There's even going to be a board game. We have so much gratitude for our legions of fans and friends. Your support of our Kickstarter started it all. To celebrate this momentous occasion, we thought we'd take a trip down memory lane and share some of our memories from development, work in progress, images, group photos, and weird things that got posted in our Slack from the last 5 years. Like a TV clip show, we guess. That's required reading. This is all on the Yacht Club site. It's interesting just to go through and see them grow as a studio, grow as a game. Then they put this in here, and this is just shameless promotion for you. No, it's actually already happened. How did this just get to me?
This was last week.
Interesting. I just saw it today. Anyways, it's still worthwhile because we're talking. They did a stream 3-7. You should have gone and watched it last week, apparently. But that doesn't... it's more, I guess, the information then about this of where Shovel Knight is.
Man, talk about a sleeper hit. Like, Shovel Knight is on my radar. I hear people talking about how great Shovel Knight is all the time. I see people streaming it. It's out there. It's in the air supply. But I had no idea it was as big a deal as this.
Yeah.
It's great, right? I mean, it's under the radar, but it's quietly out there kind of ticking away, and people love it, and I mean, just crazy stuff. Kratos and Battletoads crossovers, the first third-party amiibo. I mean,
for me, it's the games.
Getting into Smash Brothers is no small deal. This
me, it's the games where the argument with Tim, not the argument, but the question, right, was like, all right, well, why is it not in the running for best ongoing game, right? Because if you bought the game, right, I'm looking on PlayStation Network right now. If you buy Shovel Knight Treasure Trove for $25 right now, you get all the stuff we're talking about here. You get Shovel Knight Plague of Shadows. You get Shovel Knight Shovel of Hope, the base game. Shovel Knight Spectre of Torment. Shovel Knight King Knight's Campaign. Shovel Knight Battle Mode. And these are the two that are coming soon. So, like, that's an awesome deal. And
it's amazing.
Is something that is overlooked in terms of an ongoing
game. It's been
game
really, really well supported.
And how these guys have sat there and served over and over and over and over to their audience.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, they need a pat on the back, and that needs to be explained. I think, you know, we talked about it, too, of, like, how well is it doing? Like, 2.5 million copies. I do think that could have done more. But, again, it's that thing of when you look at the blog post that I'm sending your way that's old, apparently, and you see the way the studio grew, it's still not huge, right? So it is one of those... granted, they made promises when they launched Shovel Knight of how they were going to do DLC and everything else. But even beyond that, I think, it's the argument that they don't need to live beyond their means. They don't need to sit there and nickel and dime the audience. They don't need, you know what I mean? Like, they're all, you'd hope, being generously taken care of, and they see support from their audience, and so they're able to just sit there and make their games.
Oh, I like it. This is the kind of story I like to see. You know, exactly. People out there making games with a Kickstarter and a dream. Next thing you know, you're in Super Smash Brothers.
Exactly, right? Well, this you're wrong is not about that, but it's off the base. George writes in, Jorge, not George, writes in and says, if you're a hacker, you're an asshole. And he's quoting me. Greg, hackers are also upstanding cyber. That's not what I said. I was talking about the assholes who did the bad stuff.
Yeah.
I was saying why I literally in the same breath said that. So I don't accept that one. Not George. Number four on the Roper Report. We have clarification on yesterday's story about all those cyberpunk games. You see this, Gary?
No.
There was a rumor. There wasn't even a rumor. There was a translated article saying that, hey, guess what? There's going to be CD Projekt Red is working on three different cyberpunk games. Rebecca Valentine at Games Industry Biz has this update. Cyberpunk 2077 is planned for launch next year, but CD Projekt Red apparently has two other Cyberpunk universe titles hot on its heels. Polish website Bankier, who we were talking about yesterday, right, had the CEO president that said in a conference yesterday that the studio had split into five separate teams, one for each Cyberpunk game it's currently working on, and two others working on Gwent and another non Cyberpunk title. The Cyberpunk teams are working on Cyberpunk 2077, another unannounced AAA title planned for 2021, and a third title that has not been mentioned at all. One team, based in Warclaw, as we said yesterday, has around 40 members and is focusing on multiplayer in Cyberpunk 2077. In total, the studio employs around 800, but said last May that it wanted to be known for treating developers with respect, by, among other things, emphasizing non-obligatory crunch policy. Quote, our next big project will also be in the Cyberpunk universe, said CD Projekt Red VP Peter Nibolovsky. And we're already working on it and treating it as another really big initiative or innovative project for us. That man added that pre-orders for Cyberpunk 2077's digital edition were already very strong in China. I won't lie, I put this in there reading the update part of it, and I was like, oh, this is the update? That sounds exactly like what I read yesterday. So I'm going back to the internet to figure out what the hell she's talking about. Unless she's updating her article, and maybe it was the fact that they didn't have that yesterday. I thought we were updating something else.
I didn't even know. I mean, this is all new to me. I had not heard about other Cyberpunk titles in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. One of these other unannounced titles has got to be Witcher 4, you think?
Oh, I see what I fucked up. Here we go.
The difference?
The fuck up is that I would expect you put the update to your article on top of your article.
Put it at the bottom?
Exactly. So okay. I put the thing in there. That's on me. Everybody.
I prefer it when they put it at the top.
Because me too, right? The subhead was Polish studio clarifies it has three teams working on Cyberpunk 2077. So let's everybody for a second act like I just read all of that as to bring you up to speed on what we talked about yesterday, okay, and that I'm not an idiot. And like I said, if you watch my Twitter, I was locked out, so I was moving fast today. Anyways, the update is this from Rebecca. CD Projekt Red has clarified comments about its plans for the Cyberpunk series. A statement issued to GameSpot claims that the three teams, the guy I mentioned, are focusing on the development of Cyberpunk 2077, with the Warsaw and Krakow studios, quote, handling the main game, and the Warclaw division engaged in technology R&D. The reference to the main game does not imply multiple Cyberpunk projects, although this could refer to a large Witcher 3-style expansion CD Projekt has since confirmed. The company does have a public strategy page, which lists Cyberpunk 2077 as the only confirmed Cyberpunk release before 2021, alongside another AAA RPG. You can read the statement in full below. We currently have a total of five teams working on a number of projects, with three focusing on the development of Cyberpunk 2077. These include CD Projekt Red Warsaw and Krakow, who are handling the main game, as well as the Warclaw studio, where around 40 industry specialists are engaged in technology R&D. A separate, dedicated team at the Warsaw studio is handling the development of Gwent, the final team in Spokow, which is currently working on a yet unannounced mobile project. So there you go. Not all Cyberpunk games, not a million things. Clarification. Gamesindustry.biz, I feel you should put the update at the top of your article, okay, like IGN did and how I was trained to do. But I digress. Rebecca, you do you.
And like I said, Witcher 4, it's got to be in there somewhere, hasn't it?
Does it? Didn't they say kindoffunny.com/you're wrong? Didn't they say Witcher 3 was the end? Or is that the end of Geralt's story?
Maybe, I don't know.
Look, when you've got a franchise where there's money on the table to be scooped up, and they've got a big Netflix show coming, and Witcher's going to be bigger than ever, there's another Witcher game coming. I'm sure of it. They'd be crazy not to do it.
But is it Geralt's story? That's what I can't remember.
I mean, I don't think it matters.
There's been some statement. I remember, is it just going to follow us here?
As long as it's Witcher, it could be a new character. Just continue the brand. People love those games.
That's true. Where are you coming down on Cyberpunk? Are you hyped?
Yeah, not as hyped to some people, but yeah. I thought the trailer looked great. When that first reveal that they did blew me away. I'll play it.
Okay. Number five. This is a personal one. John Drake is leaving PlayStation. John Drake tweeted this today. Today's my last day as head of portfolio strategy and content at PlayStation. So proud of all we've accomplished over these 5 years. Supporting big games.
Big and small.
I'm there, buddy. Supporting games big and small and making cool things happen for PlayStation Nation. Thank you to the team, the partners, and the fans.
Of the nicest guys in the business.
Well, I don't want to go that far, but he's a guy.
He's definitely in the business.
Who is in the business.
This is how you know it's worth watching the Kinda Funny roast when we post it next week.
Oh, man.
Because John Drake, so terrified by his own performance, quit his job before they could fire him for everything he said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, I'm probably going to get fired. Might as well get ahead of it.
John, of course, a friend of the show, a friend of me for a long time, of course, married to Andrea, a whole bunch of different stuff, but we wish him
like
well.
Family around
yeah,
here.
And it'll be exciting to see where he goes, let alone the fact that, again, another figurehead, a big deal at PlayStation leaving, and what does that do to everything that's going on there in terms of their publishing arm? John, instrumental in getting Spider-Man.
Don't get some other bozo in there to replace him.
Well, of course. I mean, Barrett could walk in tomorrow, drunk off his ass, do a better job than John. That's not the argument. You know what I mean? In kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, I was correct, and it's the end of Geralt's story. Nanobiologist says The Witcher 3 is the end of Geralt's story, but CD Projekt Red has said they are not against making more Witcher without him. So there you go.
Okay, all right.
Also, Malcontent Ronan, while I'm here, just says, it's definitely Shenmue, not Shenmue. Just no matter how I say it, people yell at me, so I don't give a shit. Your weird little Japanese sailor game, Shenmue is coming 3.
It's there Shenmue. You go.
Shenmue, who the fuck cares?
Can I do something here, Greg? Because I've got an idea.
Sure.
Well, Greg, I'm very excited to see what John Drake's going to be doing next, but it might be a while until we find out. So that, but then,
oh,
you,
you,
would, then you would do the next part.
Oh, sorry,
yeah.
sorry.
Okay.
You're right, Gary. If I wanted something more pertinent, and like say it was coming to mom and grab shops, where would I go?
That would be the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday. Took you a second to see what I was doing there, but you got it.
I thought you were switching roles and I was going
to
read
the list. It was complicated. Like, I throw to you and then you throw back to
me.
We're
already on holiday,
everybody. It was a tricky maneuver. It was like a 1-2, like a give and go.
I like it. You keep me on my toes. You know what I mean? Yeah, everybody else comes in here, they just slug it up. Fran's over there just laying on the desk. You know, I got nothing. He gives me nothing
Barrett
to work
saw
with.
What was doing. He was saying his hands.
Barrett
he
always knows
he
what's
it.
Up.
He knew what was going on.
Today, Kurtz Pell adds Dual Soul Karma in DLC. So if you are a Kurtz Pell fan, that MMORPG.
Can't get through the day without a little
RPG.
Kurtz Pell. Where would be we without it?
I got five Switch titles in a row here. Desktop Table Tennis. Dobutsu Shogi World.
Penguin Wars. Can we pull that, Barrett, please? Yeah, thank you. He's already ahead of me. Look at
Terraria
that.
Terraria and World
we are
of Riders.
One mind.
Shout out
all
to
out.
Terraria.
Terraria, oh yeah, a game that people
really
love.
Right there, the first link.
Now, first off, Penguin Warrants has a PlayStation 4 box art leading with it. So then I immediately need to know, after I see some gameplay here, show it to everybody. We're watching the Penguin Wars Nintendo Switch trailer.
I gotta hear about Penguin Wars, dude.
I gotta know what the trophy
especially
list is
if it's
like
on Switch. Is this on all platforms?
I mean, it's got a PlayStation 4 version for sure.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
What is this?
You heard it right. After 30 years, Penguin Wars is back.
Penguin Wars was around before?
It's some kind of weird
shoot. Is it like Crossfire?
You
play that game Crossfire?
Of course,
when
you'll get
kid?
Caught up in it. Crossfire. It does look like Crossfire, right? Trying to knock the balls back on each other.
Yo, this is a party mode ass game.
This
right
is I mean, this is party mode waiting to happen, sure.
I do love the
bright
the
colors, neon lights, bananas flying everywhere.
It's
I mean, it checks all the boxes.
Things. Colors and bananas.
Yeah, you guys have got to get in on this.
All right. Oh, yeah, okay. See, now that I'm looking at it, it looks just too complicated to be good for trophies, so I don't know. Illusion of La Falcia. Xbox One and PC. Ovivo. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Luca, Born of a Dream. Switch. Maybe that's about your dream.
Yeah.
Bus Fix 2019 is so, on Switch.
Okay, I don't want to do two, but please pull Bus Fix.
Definitely need to see the trailer for Bus Fix 2019.
Do you think you repair buses?
I hope so.
I super hope so.
I hope not.
There you go. The first video, 32 seconds. I got to see it. Is a game where you repair buses.
BusEuro.net was one
of them. Oh my God. It really does.
Oh, you have to get the right size socket wrench too.
Look at this.
Oh my God, there's bacteria.
Getting rid of the bacteria with your spray can.
Just as we all know, buses are...
That looks like a dirty bus engine.
That's an engine, yeah, dirty bus engine.
Gotta clean that. Look at that, all in 3D.
Man, every day there's a muni bus.
Take the engine
down
apart.
Street,
you so actually disassemble the engine. Wow. That's amazing. Bus Fix 2019.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Game of the year. Total Party Kills on PC and Mac. Victorian Mysteries, The Yellow Room is on PC.
Good
and
luck with this next one.
Kubifactorum. PC and Mac. Enjoy these games, everybody. You know what I mean?
I think Bus Fix 2019 could be the standout.
That could be the
standout
of the day. Meanwhile, Terraria's like, we're a real game. What the fuck? We're like, no, let's check out Bus Fix.
Can you imagine someone worked on a game for like 2 years, put their heart and soul on it, and they know that the date, kind of funny, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead, we just skim right over that and talk about Bus Fix.
Let's get through this name that makes sense for a game that, so let's look at Bus Fix 2019. I love that it's annualized. Good for them. Can't wait for Bus Fix 2020. When are they just going to make the Bus Fix platform? You know what I mean? And just, I pay for it once and then I get content drops.
Like games
as
a service.
Really, exactly. Yeah. I need games as a service, Bus Fix. New dates for you. Metal Wolf Chaos XD Fighting for Freedom. Is Fighting for Freedom, I think. On August 6th on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Blue Kid 2 is coming to Nintendo Switch October 2019. Kotaku reports last week as part of Call of Duty Black Ops 4's June 25th update. Treyarch quietly removed split-screen co-op play from the game's Battle Royale mode Blackout. At first, no one was sure what was going on, but today, Treyarch has said the feature will return on July 9th. So if you were freaking out about that, there you go. Meanwhile, I got some Xbox Game Pass updates for you. Here are games coming to Xbox Game Pass on July 4th. Middle Earth, Shadow of War on both PC and Xbox. My Time at Portia. We don't care. We're moving on. It's like a Shenmue. Xbox for PC and Xbox. It's complicated now. Undertale, Xbox Game Pass for PC and Ultimate. Then July 11th, you're getting Blazing Chrome, Dead Rising 4, Lego City Undercover, Time Spinner, Unavowed.
A particular shout out there to Lego City Undercover. What a great game.
Yeah,
I never played that game.
You know, I like Legos.
My kid
loved it.
It's one of those games that you can enjoy any age. It's a legitimately really good game.
Yeah.
So if you have Game Pass, make sure you check out Lego City Undercover.
Gotcha.
Highly recommend it.
All right, now, in your wrong, Lord of Pwn is saying Penguin Wars has a platinum trophy and doesn't seem too bad. 8 silvers, 9 golds. So now I need you, Barrett, to go to PlayStationTrophies.org. And then search Penguin Wars so I can see how long people are estimating it to be. Games leaving Xbox Game Pass for console. And their dates go like this. Aftercharge, leaving July 9th. There's a party mode up for Aftercharge. We had fun with it. You should check it out. Warhammer Vermintide, July 10th. Lego Movie the Video Game, July 16th. Dandara, July 31st. Dead Rising 2, July 31st. Hitman Season 1, July 31st. Actually, everything's July 31st from here on. Metal Slug XX. Defense Grid The Awakening. Hexic 2. And then Iron Brigade.
Now, explain something to me, because I've never actually done this. It leaves Game Pass, if I have a Game Pass subscription and I download it and I've been playing it, does it disappear for me on this day? Or since I've downloaded it and I have it as part of Game Pass, do I get to keep it or does it go away?
As someone who doesn't use Game Pass and just reads about Game Pass, I'm going to tell you what I think I remember from when they announced it. I think it's gone. I don't think it's like PlayStation Plus where you have it, great for you. I think that the way Xbox Game Pass works is... those are the games that are in the library at the time, and you can't stockpile.
But what if I've got like I'm halfway through the game, and then Microsoft says, it's going in a week. Then you've got to race to go finish it.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know how that works. I'm curious.
Good. You got me here. Great job.
Is it the trophy list?
Is click on forums. See forums up there?
Okay.
Greg, you've got a sickness. You really need to talk to someone.
No, that's great. And then nobody's posting anything.
No one's posting.
So go back here. So I got to defeat a bunch of people. Get 400 candies. Eat a Gira noodle.
Get some skills.
Get an S rank. This sounds like it's probably pretty easy.
Defeat all shadow bosses. That doesn't sound easy.
Defeat all
a shadow boss. I don't know what that is, but it doesn't sound like it'd be easy.
Maybe not. Maybe not. You know what I mean? Nanobiologist is already here. You want to know what he's got for you?
Nanobiologist is a mod on my channel, twitch.tv/GaryWitter.
Nanobiologist says, kindoffunny.com/wrong, from the Xbox Game Pass FAQ. Games you install using Xbox Game Pass remain playable once they've left the Game Pass catalog only when you buy them.
Okay.
And you get a hefty discount when you buy games as an Xbox Game Pass subscriber.
Okay, so if you decide you like a game and it's going away,
yeah,
you do have to buy it, but you can get it at a discounted price.
Oh, that was your question. I thought your question was, could you keep playing it if you've downloaded it?
No, that's what I mean.
Oh, my apologies. Okay. When you do buy games at a discount, those games are yours to keep. Similar to add-ons you buy are yours to keep.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Now it's time for reader mail, but first let me tell you about our sponsors. Our first sponsor is Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out of debt is hard, especially if your FICO score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, I talked about it all the time. When I first moved here, got into debt, that sucked paying off. This would have been helpful. Upstart goes beyond the traditional FICO score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you and they understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes without affecting your credit score. The best part? Once the loan is approved, most people get their funds the very next day. The very next business day, people! Over 200,000 people have used Upstart to pay off their credit cards, student loans, fund their weddings, and make large purchases. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. And hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes and it won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Up next is Experian. You know, the better your credit score, the easier it is to get stuff you want or the less you have to pay. So the question is, why is it so hard to raise your credit score? Now it won't be thanks to Experian. They've launched Experian Boost, a brand new way to instantly increase your credit scores for free. A higher credit score means you can help establish and get access to credit and preferred rates for the things you want and need in life. Experian is on a mission to help boost America's credit score, which will help millions of people across the country build and get better access to credit. People all across America have already raised their credit scores with Experian Boost, and you should too. For the first time ever, paying your utilities and cell phone bill can instantly improve your credit score. Experian Boost works by giving you credit for the bills you're already paying through your bank account, like water, gas, electric, cable, and cell phone. It used to take months to see your credit score rise a point or two, but with Boost, you can increase your credit scores instantly. Like I said recently, 2 years ago, I closed out a credit card and moved on with my life, then tried to do something. They said, your credit's bad. I said, how's that possible? I looked at it. The old credit card had screwed up my thing because they gave me a finance charge. I didn't see. It was like $56 measly. I'm not mad about it. Don't worry. This would help fix my credit score faster than what I had to do did, and I don't like that. We can't believe it's taken someone so long to do this. What are you waiting for? Experian Boost can potentially help establish and increase your access to credit. Boost your FICO score instantly for free. Boost is only available at Experian.com/KFGames. That's Experian.com/KF. Games.
Get your financial life in order with Kinda Funny.
Sort it out.
You know, I used to have terrible credit up till about 10 years ago because I didn't know anything about how credit works, and I had all these credit card bills, and I would pay the minimum every month, but that I carried all this debt. And finally, when I sold my first movie, the first thing I did with the check was just pay off all my debt,
yeah,
and clear all my debt. And I've had good credit ever since. But yeah, it sucks having shitty credit. It's really awful.
It holds
you don't realize how many ways it fucks up your life until you have it.
Until you actually have to.
I can't do anything. Yeah, I can't buy a car. I can't get an apartment because everyone's worried that you're not going to pay them. You know, because you've got 100%. History of being a shitty payer.
Anyway. Oh, Gary.
What do you got? Reader mail?
We got some good reader mail today, too. Okay. I was very happy with the crop of
reader mail. Actually, even though I gummed up the show at the top of the show with all my stupid...
You don't gum up the show. Don't get in your head. I
like
Gary.
To keep things moving.
Everybody wants to be... They just love a
but
good
But you've got this hard out now at 11. What comes after this today?
I don't have a hard out. You know we don't have a hard out at 11.
Usually around 11, Nick and Andy start milling around here.
Well, that's not that. That's because they're like, how much time do they have to kill? They're not like Andrea. Andrea used to come in the old days and interrupt the morning show going, hey, it's 11:45. I have shit to do. Those guys come in to see, how much longer can we keep fucking around?
Yeah.
Okay, they're not even into squat up yet. We can go fuck around longer.
Right,
That's the opposite.
Oh, I see.
They're not coming in here.
I thought they were like, you know, kind of like when you're at a restaurant.
Sure.
And you're sitting and you finished your meal and you just want to sit and chat for a little bit, but you can see other people are waiting for a table. You kind of feel bad. It's like, we should give up the table. So
No. Okay. I've said it before and I'll say it again, even though a contingent of people refuse to fucking believe me and it's not annoying at all, that the show can go as long as it needs to be.
Okay.
If if we're in the groove and there's breaking news or there's great news or whatever, we're having a great conversation.
First time we did the time change and KFAF came in, there was a whole thing. Was like, quick move, Barrett's got to get in and move all the furniture around.
There's a lot of shit to move usually. But again, we're not even doing KFAF today.
Right. Why did KFF get moved?
Because we're going away, obviously, tomorrow for Rooster
Teeth. Different week. Okay.
And so rather than delay Spider-Man Far From Home in review way out, like usually we see the movies on Thursday nights. Right. And so we're like, whatever, we'll do it a normal thing in review on Tuesday. This time we're seeing Spider-Man on Tuesday and then we're away for like a week. So rather than fuck it up and not have in review anytime soon, let's move KFAF and do it there.
Okay.
And then Nick wanted to kick a bottle cap real bad.
Which he did brilliantly, by the way.
Yeah.
But again, as some people brought up, the whole challenge is to have the bottle like on top of something. So because the challenge is to kick it off
without disturbing
tipping,
the bottle, right?
Without disturbing the bottle, but Andy was holding it, bottle,
and that kind of made it easier to do. Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. All right, if I was to try that, not only would I have struggled to get my leg up that high, I would have clearly either kicked Andy or smashed the bottle against the wall. So the fact that Nick had enough control to even get close, but not
it may have been like the training wheels version of the Statham stunt, but it was still more than I could have done.
100%.
You would have got hits out of me doing it because I would have like fallen ass backwards into the couch. Or whatever, you've got like comedy viral clip to bait it out of it, but fucking what Nick did was impressive.
Here's where I want to start. I want to start with Parker B. All right, Gary, this is on page Parker two, B. top of okay, page two Parker there B. for you. Happy America's Birthday Week, Greg and Gary.
Oh, that's right, it's 4th of July tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. In lieu of recent events with Dr. Disrespect, the trash talking, and the craziness within the personality realm, I wanted to get your opinion on finding a voice. As a young guy who's still trying to find his voice in the video game world and believes in the kind of funny vision of be better to each other and be positive, it's discouraging to see unethical personalities excel. Nobody's perfect, but it's getting ridiculous. But is that what it takes to find a niche nowadays? I've been searching for a gap I can fill for quite a while, and I can't seem to nail it. Any advice for myself and others in a similar boat? Despite my thoughts, there's nothing that would tear me away from the KFBFs and the love of the community. Peace, Parker B.
It's a good question, and it's a good question for me right now because I'm in the middle of this. As I'm starting my channel, I'm trying to find my voice. And I started the channel not really knowing what I was going to do. Did I want to goof around? Did I want it to be comedy? Did I want it to be like a serious channel about writing and giving out screenwriting advice and answering people's questions? And it's been a bit of both. It's just kind of vacillated back and forth as I felt like it. But I don't really know if that is a mix that people necessarily want. It's a weird mix of like kind of stupid, weird comedy and me going on bizarre, you know, randomless tangent type rants, and then actually seriously talking about like what's it like working as a screenwriter in Hollywood and giving advice. People ask me like, how do you get started and what kind of software should I use and things like that. And I try to give out that advice, but then I do stupid shit as well. So I don't know. I'm fine. I mean, you're a better person to ask this question because I think that, I mean, you're always finding it, but you are much more involved in the process of finding. Is this a question you asked yourself when you first struck out? Like, how do I, or even back in the Game Over Greggy days on IGN when you were first kind of becoming an on-air personality?
By IGN, so my story can only give you the hindsight's 2020 advice.
Yeah.
Because at IGN, I never set off to be a personality. I never set out to host a bunch of podcasts and that was all just like, I was there to review games, right? And going on GameScoop and eventually starting Beyond with everybody. Like, that was always like, oh, cool. That's like an interesting side thing. And me and Damon would leave GameScoop, I remember, and be like, oh, man. Or even Knockin' Boots, right? And be like, wouldn't it be awesome if that's all we had to do? Back to working. And then by the time I learned what YouTube really was with Up at Noon and started Game Over Greggy, the YouTube channel, that would become kind of funny. That even wasn't so much as, man, what content should I be making? The advice about content is always simple, right? And I know it's a dirty word that's thrown around a lot and I think used the wrong way and then thrown around by people who don't necessarily understand it is it's authenticity. I've already said that's exactly what you get here. And so what that means in this thing is the content you're creating, would you watch it and would you enjoy it? When I come home at night and Jen's like, how is today? I often will be like, oh man, I didn't give out the performance I wanted on whatever show. This thing didn't go the way I wanted it to. And what the bar I'm setting there is that I wasn't entertained by myself. I don't think that I would like that piece of content I made, right? Or what we did right there. And that is the litmus test. That is the test. That is what you're doing. That's what you've got to be doing. If you are making content that you enjoy, that you're having fun with, that you believe in, other people will too. And that's long and short of it. Like, you know, when I was like, I'm going to make an Oreo show. That's a dumb idea. Because
that's something you want to see.
But I had so much fun doing it that it worked and it found an audience clearly, obviously. And so even the stuff we do here is the exact same way of, all right, cool. Like we're doing We Have Cool Friends and starting a new show is always tough, right? Starting a show that is just talking to your, is guest based.
Yeah.
So it's going to peak and valley and do all this different stuff, right? Like we believe in that show and we're having fun with that show. So as long as we're, you know, doing enough to keep the lights on with that show, that's great. And that's
It sounds like a trite thing to say, but the best advice really is just be yourself. Because by definition, anything else you try to be is going to be fake and forced, and it's probably going to come along that way. I've got a couple of real quick anecdotes that relate to this. So my good friend Chuck Wendig, who's a very prolific author, has a new book out this week called Wanderers that's getting spectacular reviews. He's written a bunch of books, and he's an excellent writer. Follow him on Twitter. He talked about this the other day, and he said that all he can do, and I feel this is true for me as well, is that you can't go out trying to please an audience. All you can do is try to write what you would want to see. It's exactly what you just said. Write what you would want to see, and then hope that there are others like you out there. Chuck had this beautiful quote the other day. He said something, I'm gonna mangle it, but he said something like, every book that I write is like a prayer that I'm not alone in the universe. Like there are other people out there like me that are going to enjoy the same thing that I'm writing.
When you heard all this, was this on the radio? Was this like an NPR or something?
No, it was on Twitter.
Okay. I got an Uber the other day and there was a guy, I didn't know who was getting interviewed or what it was about because it was like mid-interview and he was saying a lot of stuff like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another great example is Howard Stern. If you ever read his book Private Parts about how he became a hit personality in radio, I've seen the film. He went through a number. He bounced around a number of radio stations. He was like on a cowboy, like a country and western station. He tried to be Hopalong Howie,
and it was all fake.
None of it was real. None of it was what he wanted to do. And it was his wife who said to him, "Why don't you just be yourself? Like just be real."
Yeah.
And he started doing that and started talking about his personal life and getting real with the audience in a way that no one was doing on radio in that time. And that's why he blew up, because he was authentic.
Yeah.
That's the key. He was authentic.
Yeah.
And you are too.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's the key, is authenticity, and also in the same breath, would you watch this? Would you be entertained by this, right?
Right.
And I feel like, you know, he mentions Doc, and obviously this is piggybacking off of yesterday's thing about it, right? Yeah. I think both you and Andrea and me to an extent, but you guys both did it really well, talking about mean-spirited humor and then punching down.
Yeah.
Right? That's the thing where I think you can lose it, because it's not even authenticity as much as entertainment, where, you know, like I was talking about yesterday, the clips I've seen of Doc, I think are really funny. Like, he is a funny dude, right? And then he does stupid
things.
It's
like I said, I have a lot of admiration for what Doc has created over there. You know, the production design and the character that he committed to, it's amazing what he did. No one else before him or even since has done anything like what Dr. Disrespect has done on Twitch. And I went back and watched last week's show, and I just want to address this, because a bunch of people were expecting me to come on and talk about the Doc this week. And I'm not going to tear into him again. I just want to say that having watched last week's show, I do think I came down on him a little bit hard. I do think he should have got a longer ban, but the tone of the show, I think, felt a little bit like we wanted him to be crucified or something. I really didn't. I don't think 2 weeks was long enough. I do think the apology was generally okay. You know, I asked for an apology and it seemed like it was fitting that he gave one. I do think it was a little bit mealy-mouthed, but it was okay. As you know, I said, I'm ready to accept the apology.
Yeah.
Let's move on. And then I saw all the shit that he did with Jason, which was punching down. Once you start getting into people's personal appearance, you can fuck off.
Totally.
That's not cool. It's cheap. It's nasty. And like I said, it's what bullies do. And I was bullied quite badly in school. And so I'm perhaps very oversensitive to it when I see people. I can't even watch, if I see movies or TV shows where like, kids getting bullied or picked on,
sure.
I can't even watch KFAF. it because it gives me PTSD. I don't like it. Yeah, like KFAF. I really don't like it. So when I see anything that even feels like bullying, which this did with Doc kind of going after Jason's fucking hairline and saying, I hate myself and I'm a failure and stuff like that, fuck him. And I tell you, the other good thing about that was he lost that argument. Jason was smarter and funnier than him. All of Jason's comebacks were way better than guys' attacks.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it. You just be better and smarter and funnier than the other guy. And Jason did. He totally won that exchange. I'll be interested to see what Doc does when he comes back on Twitter. If he's changed his act a lot.
I hope
he's learned something. But he does. But the way he went in on, you'd think when he came back he would be on his best behavior. But
sure
apparently
would,
not.
Chadwick writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, happy twitch.tv/GaryWidowWednesday. I have a question about celebrities in video games. As games mature in technology, writing, etc., they seem to be gathering the attention of Hollywood actors more and more. Ellen Page and Willem Dafoe were once outliers in Beyond Two Souls, but now it seems like there are so many major franchises that are trying to draw players in with big-name talent. Are you worried at all that this might take away from opportunities from lesser known, but maybe more talented voice/performance capture artists in favor of a flashy name? How many brilliant performances, like in Senua's Sacrifice, will we lose to mediocre names like... Okay. He throws out Hayden Panettiere.
Oh, is she mediocre? I don't know.
She was great in Until Dawn, sir. Thanks. And it was a pleasure to bump into the crew at Spider-Man last night. Chadwick. Oh, hey, Chadwick. Throwing Hayden's name around like that, I totally don't agree with. She was put into this, like, teeny bopper slasher Until Dawn thing, and it was great. I never played that. I was like, man, she's phoning it in. Not to mention Rami Malek was in it, right, before he was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
I digress. Gary, you are from the land of Hollywood, as you are trying desperately to get away from it and just become a Twitch streamer. What's your take on this?
It's not unexpected. I mean, just like in Hollywood, if you can attach a big name to a game. I mean, look how much buzz Cyberpunk got from the Keanu Reeves Association.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Keanu's having a big moment right now, just generally. It was a perfect time for him to be associated with that game from Project Red's point of view. But I don't have a problem with it. Again, if it financially makes sense to the company. I mean, you know, Keanu Reeves is not cheap. I'm sure they're paying him a lot of money.
Sure.
But it's probably worth it to them. They'll get a great performance out of him. And a lot of people will. I guarantee you so many more, because that Keanu Reeves announcement at E3, that went viral beyond the games business.
Totally.
That put the game on people's radar probably more than anything else has so far. So I think from that point of view, it can be worth it. Is it taking, like, is Nolan North and Troy Baker going to have, are they going to have less opportunities?
I heard they're doing so badly they had to start their own YouTube channel.
You know, I mean, again, it's like anything else. You know, we all struggle, and some people are more famous than others, and sometimes the bigger names will get the bigger jobs, but, you know, you keep plugging away. I don't think it's a problem.
I honestly, Chadwick, I think this would have been a conversation or an argument or a concern years ago when it was more of like a shock value thing you got in there. Remember the thing with Keanu in Cyberpunk was, in the interviews he did after that announcement, everybody was like, man, he's so really into it.
Yeah.
He really knows this material. He's really excited to be there.
Like, a big actor is like, I don't know about this. Totally. You know, they put me in front of a microphone and tell me to read lines.
Totally.
And then Keanu actually seems to know a little bit about what he's talking about.
And I joke around about it, not even like in being a jerk about it, but like me and Tim have talked about it with the Final Fantasy reveal event we did, right?
Where
they brought out a Cersei Lannister.
Lena Headey, right?
She was in this CG movie or whatever, and it was very much clearly like she was just looking off the prompter of like, what is this weird ass world about? Like, you know, and I'm not even being like, oh man, fuck her. It was just like, no, she was brought in to be a voice in this CG movie. Who cares?
Right.
It's like, there's such different layers that I think I'm not worried about a studio like, and this is, stick with me, it's a weird thing. A studio like Insomniac making a game like Spider-Man and then casting someone who's going to half-ass it rather than Josh Keaton.
Right.
Josh Keaton's going to come in and kill it with the voice and give you the three or four different reads for different momentum swings on the...
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
You're not going to get somebody... If you're bringing in a Hollywood actor who's just a voice... That's not going to fly for most games.
Well, I think it's a generational thing as well. Like, if you put a microphone in front of, like, say, James Caan, who is a great actor but of the older generation, and so let's say Blizzard said, okay, you're going to be a voice in the next World of Warcraft expansion. Here's a ton of money. Here's a microphone. Read these lines. He would read the lines, and he might do a very good job. He's a good actor.
Wasn't he in the Godfather game? This is the same James
Caan? He might have been.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in the Godfather movies.
Yeah.
And he might, or the first one anyway. No spoilers. he might do a good performance, but he's not necessarily going to know, like, what the fuck Azeroth is or whatever. He's just reading the lines. But as younger actors are coming through, they're growing up with video games, so they'll be more cogent about video games. They'll understand them better, and they'll probably be excited to do it. Oh shit, like, I grew up playing, I actually want to do a video game. I don't feel like I'm slumming doing a video game. I think is what a newer generation of actors, how they'll approach it.
Yeah, and that was a conversation for a long time with Up at Noon when I'd bring in people, right, of like, oh no, like wasn't there a stigma of, you know, going from TV or movies to video games?
If there wasn't any stigma left, Keanu has destroyed it.
He crushed
once
it.
Keanu does something, it's good for anyone to do it.
That's true. Charles Jacobson is the final reader mail question for the day. He wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says,
you're passing around on these pages. I can't keep up with you.
I know. Greetings, KFGD. Monday, Greg and Tim discussed Sony acquiring new developers. And while thinking about it, I realized an opportunity which leans into this. What if Sony acquired Konami's video game IPs, possibly excluding PES, as they still have to release a new one? Mainly for two reasons. Metal Gear and Silent Hill. If they're really aiming for hardcore gamers with the PlayStation 5, what better way than to bring back Silent Hill, a series that many people in 2019 might not even know because Konami let die. But do it right. Find an indie team who's made one of these successful PT-inspired games and let them make it on their own take and take their own take on Silent Hill. Same for Metal Gear. It would be good for Sony to invest in story-driven FPS, and with the right people behind it, who's to say it couldn't be with Metal Gear? Meanwhile, they could snap up Inti Creates and give them full control over Castlevania, Contra, etc., as they've done very well with Mega Man, Gunvolt, Bloodstained prequel, etc. What do you think, Charles Jacobson? It's too it, it makes sense, Charles, on the it's a pie in the sky, it won't happen thing. Konami's not going to give up these IP because Konami's doing fine with them just sitting on ice. Their pachinko machines and everything else are doing fine. Why give away this? Maybe they'd license it out. I could totally see them licensing out these and letting Sony do stuff with it. But that's Metal Gear and Silent Hill. Your Silent Hill thing doesn't hold water for me because, again, what the article was, right, is that Sony is PlayStation 5. They're thinking about scooping up more studios. They're focusing on AAA games for gamers. They're not really supporting indies. So Silent Hill wouldn't be given to an indie. They'd want Silent Hill to be given to another AAA thing.
Right.
Taking those two, license them from Konami, give them to AAA publishers, similar to an Insomniac Spider-Man deal, great. And then that's why I also think it doesn't make sense for them to go to Inti Creates and be like, here's Castlevania Contra, etc., because those are more indie titles. Granted, bigger IP, but indie titles that PlayStation apparently, according to what we've heard, isn't working out so well.
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, my main take on this is that it's a real tragedy and somewhat preposterous that some of the biggest franchises in modern video games, think about it. Like you just said, Silent Hill, Metal Gear, Contra, Mega Man, Castlevania are just sitting around dormant, fallow for years, perhaps generations, because Konami have found a better way to make money with pachinko machines. And that's fine. Their job as the company is to make
you
money.
Your IP,
but it's a real shame for games. So why not make even more money and license these properties out to people that will be good stewards of them and take good care of them? And we could have new metal. Obviously, Metal Gear is a tricky one because Metal Gear without Kojima, there's a whole other issue there. What does that even look like?
Sure.
But just generally.
But what? I'm
what?
PlayStation. What? PlayStation 5. I want AAA games. I want to buy studios. Cool. Kojima Productions, we would like to buy you and make you a first-party studio. Great. Konami, we would like to license the IP for Metal Gear.
Oh, you put the two together.
You. There you go, Kojima Productions.
Oh, you're a gen. Suddenly,
everybody runs, they carry Shuhei Yoshida around on their shoulders for a year.
Don't you think Kojima would probably just say no? Don't you think he's moved on?
After everything that's happened, I definitely think that they'd be like, we want to buy your studio, and Kojima would be like, get the fuck out of here.
I think he's probably really enjoying being an independent right now.
I would think so. All right.
Anything else?
No, time to squad up.
Okay.
This is where you write in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You give me your name, username, platform of choice, why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays them there, Vigi Games, together. Griffin needs help on Twitter. His name on Twitter is Griffy D-Pad. G-R-I-F-F-I D-Pad. Hi-ho, Greg and Gary. I'm heading to Austin bright and early tomorrow for RTX and would love to hang with some awesome, kind of funny best friends. My Twitter DMs are always open, so best friends, hit me up. There are also a few truly evil Mario Maker levels that I'd like to post on Twitter, and more are coming soon. So, if you're up to that, be forewarned. Seriously, I hope to hang out with some of y'all awesome humans at RTX, and I look forward to seeing all of Kind of Funny there. Woo. That's Griffy D-Pad on Twitter.
I've really been enjoying watching Andy playing Mario Maker level. Really some good. Of these rage quits.
You guys are making
epic.
Some great Twitch content right now. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
really cool.
We raid each other's channels. It goes back
It'd
and forth.
It'd be awesome
it's
if
great.
They were like, yeah, team players who made it for us.
Yeah.
That'd be a really great.
That'd
point.
Be really cool.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
God forbid, if Greg, you know, if I don't do it around here, it doesn't happen in terms of content.
Yeah.
You do a lot of work. I'm not saying you don't do work. You know what I mean? But I mean, like Andy over there, just God forbid, he streams for our fucking channel. Yeah. Remember, you only get one Amazon Prime subscription. Give it to Kind of Funny Vids. Actually, Kind of Funny Games. I don't even know our own Twitch channel. Time for You're Wrong. This is where people watching live go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. I usually don't put in missed dates because I could put them anywhere, but since it's the end of the week, I have to. Nanobiologist points out that the Assassin's Creed Odyssey Final DLC, Judgment of Atlantis, will be released on July 1st. For all, wait, why?
Wait, wasn't that?
Yeah, it was yesterday. I don't understand.
It's 2 days ago.
Well, get the fuck out of here, Nanobiologist, with that.
My wife will be interested. She might not know that. I'll have to tell her about
that. Nanobiologist comes back and says, the CG movie for Final Fantasy 15 was called Kingsglaive. Thank you very much. Matt the Wab says, Yuri Lowenthal voiced Spidey in Insomniac Spider-Man, not Josh Keaton. That's a great call. I was saying like Insomniac, then I said like Josh Keaton.
Right, he
read my mind on what I was trying to do.
And
there.
He was great. Yuri was
amazing. I love Yuri. He's probably going to see this clip and be very offended that I forgot. And then, but he knows I love Josh too. It's tough. I love too many Spider-Men. You know how it is? Too many Spider-Men in my love.
Somebody pointed out on Twitter today, we now live in a world where there are three Spider-Man 2s.
God
what,
bless it.
What is going
Perfect.
On?
Perfect. The nanobiologist says, Gary said Konami made Mega Man, but that was Capcom.
Oh, sorry. Well, he put Mega Man on the list, so I got that wrong. All the others are Konami, though.
Yeah, Mega Man was in the question, so I understand what happened. And then nanobiologist, you're wrongs himself, and says the DLC is coming out the 16th. So there you go, July 16th.
Okay, all right. So 2 weeks from now.
The next piece of Fate
okay.
of Atlantis. Ladies and gentlemen, That's been Kinda Funny Games Daily, your last one for the week. There is no show tomorrow because it's 4th of July, and there's no show Friday because all of Kinda Funny is going to RTX. If you are going to RTX, please come see us Friday for our signing. Then come see us Saturday for our two panels. Kinda Funny, we need your sub more than Funhouse at 2 p.m. Michael Jones and Greg Miller, let's see what happens at 5:30 p.m.
And I also want to point out, if you're not going to RTX and you're hungry for more of this Kinda Funny, the unique brand of humor, I will not be taking a day off like these fucking schmoes. I will be broadcasting
this unique brand of humor that I'm Kinda Funny.
That you can get
that's trademark infringement,
you
can sir.
Get, you know, some people have said that I really go after you. So you should do like Widow Games Daily. I would never step on your toes, Greg. Yeah. It's all one big happy family around here. Plus, you would crush me like a bug.
I would. I
feel like that would really bring out, like, I've never seen like the mean side of you, and I never want to because I feel like it would terrify me.
Sure.
I don't know if you even have one, but if you do, I never want to see it.
Oh, I do.
Twitch.tv/GaryWitter will be broadcasting tomorrow, maybe today, tomorrow and Friday. We'll have a special guest on Friday.
Ooh.
The channel is growing. Do you want me to just tell you who it is?
Yeah.
Legendary screenwriter John August will be joining us on the show. The writer of Disney's Aladdin, which is in theaters right now.
Wow.
I had a lot of people ask me about what's good screenwriting software for like people that are just getting into the business that want to dabble in screenwriting, but you don't want to spend a lot of money. Something that's free or cheap. Well, John is an expert on that subject. He actually makes his own screenwriting software for writers to use, as well as being a tremendous screenwriter in his own right. And he'll be on the show on Friday talking about and giving recommendations for how writers can get started using the right software. 4 p.m. Pacific Friday.
Is that your date? Is that your time now for starting?
No, I usually broadcast. I've done a couple of daytime streams, but I typically broadcast after the kids gone to bed. So usually I come on at around 8 and go to like 11 or 12. It's usually like an evening stream.
Sure.
But I, you know, with the holiday weekend, who knows what's going to happen?
It's getting crazy over at Gary's house, everybody.
It's kicking off, I'm telling
you. Twitch.tv/GaryWitta.
Yeah.
But again, give us the Prime sub because you can't take them yet. Because I mean, one day he's going to be able to, and I realize you're going to give him. You're going to put Andy out of business, which is good for me.
I don't know
what you're
talking about.
God forbid anybody come in and just be like, "Hey, I'd like to stream for Kinda Funny when you guys aren't streaming. Here's the plan: how you could pay me more, and we would do it."
Wait,
for fucking
I didn't know that was on the table.
Until next time, it's been a pleasure to serve you.